Hey there, friends. I'm excited to kick off our brand new devotional series to you on the book of Ephesians, and we're going to be talking about godly girl power. I am so excited about that. I'm Eileen Thompson. I am the founder of Treasured Ministries, the author of the Nourish Bible Study series, and the creator of the Nourish Bible Study Method. And every Monday, out on our Facebook page and on our website and our blog and in our newsletter, you can receive a devotion. And at the bottom of the devotion, there's a weekly Nourish scripture that you can use the Nourish Bible Study Method to apply to and dig deep in God's Word. And then every week at the end of the week, we have a podcast teaching back on that scripture as well as a video. And then on our Facebook page, we do all fun kinds of stuff during the week to get you inspired to dig deep and to nourish your heart with truth. So we're starting our series off on godly girl power. And if you watched the video this week, you learned that godly girl power is different from worldly power. And that worldly power is about trying to control people and circumstances to get what we want. And godly girl power is resting in God's strength and His power to be love to others. And when we look at the book of Ephesians, we see Paul reminding the church at Ephesus about God's power in their life, that he prays that they would understand the resurrection power that lives within them. And he also talks a lot about love. And the most powerful force in this planet is love. And the Bible says that God is love. So that only comes from him. And so we're going to be looking at godly girl power, which is very different from worldly power. And we're going to be going over lots of examples of that. But today, I want to just kind of set the stage and share with you something that Paul shared to the church at Ephesus long, long ago when he first started ministering to him. Now, the book of Ephesians is a letter that Paul wrote back to the church at Ephesus. But 10 years prior to that, he spent about 2 years ministering to the church at Ephesus. And before he left, he called the church together. And in Acts, in the book of Acts, in chapter 20, Paul has sort of this farewell speech to them. And so he's charging them with these words. And so in verse 28, he says, "So guard yourselves and God's people, feed and shepherd God's flock, his church purchased with his own blood, over which the Holy Spirit has appointed you as elders. I know that false teachers like vicious wolves will come in among you after I leave, not sparing the flock. Even some men from your own group will rise up and distort the truth in order to draw a following. Watch out. Remember the 3 years I was with you, my constant watching care over you night and day, and my many tears for you. And now I entrust to you to God and the message of his grace that is able to build you up and give you an inheritance with all those he has set apart for himself." So one of the things that Paul tells the church at Ephesus, and again, this is a goodbye that he's having with the church of Ephesus 10 years before the book of Ephesians is written, but I wanted to pull this out because it talks about how much Paul loved his church, that he cried over these people. He just cared for these people. And in his last parting words at this point, you know, Paul didn't know what his future held. There was danger in his future. And one of the things that he pointed out to them was to be sure and to watch out and be on guard for basically, you know, who is going to be in the church. But more importantly, you know, the truth, to pay attention to what words they were going to use to apply to their life. And the reason is that God's words have huge impact in our life, that all words have power. We know that, right? All words have power. The Bible tells us about that. That all words that are spoken over us and to us have power. There are lots of scriptures that talk about that, but that only God's word has that truth that can set us free. Only God's word has the gospel message. And so he sort of paints this picture, you know, this creepy picture of wolves coming in and distorting the truth. And, you know, we really need to sort of take that heart today, because you and I are living in a world that is full of information, full of words, everywhere, all over Facebook, all over all of our social media channels, what we watch on TV. Words are everywhere. And, you know, it can become confusing at times for us to find direction in life when there's so many words coming our way. You know, how do you know what the truth is? Well, I believe that we can, that we have the most confidence when we experience God's unconditional love and we know that we're walking in the direction of our God-given purpose. And the one way that we do that is to listen and to recognize His voice. And so we're going to be talking about that today, just discerning the truth so that you can guard all this information that comes to you, you know, every day, all this word. And so when Paul is talking about that, and when he talks about being a shepherd to the flock, it reminded me of a parable that Jesus told in the Gospel of John in chapter 10. And Jesus, a lot of time, talked using parables, using stories, because that's such a great way to paint a picture and for people to understand. And back then, there were a lot of shepherds. So people would understand this concept of sheep and shepherds and everything that Jesus was getting ready to say. And so Jesus says here, he says, "I tell you the truth, anyone who sneaks over the wall of a sheepfold rather than going through the gate must surely be a thief and a robber. But the one who enters through the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep recognize the voice and come to him. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. After he has gathered his own flock, he walks ahead of them, and they follow him because they know his voice. They won't follow a stranger. They will run from him because they don't know his voice." And from this, you know, what we need to understand is, one, the character of a good shepherd, of our God, that he is like a shepherd that calls to his sheep. He doesn't control us. He's given us something called choice. Now, he calls to us. He speaks to us. And a primary way that he does that is through his word. But when he calls, you know, it's very different from herding goats, where goats are, you know, sort of kicked along the way. Sheep are not on a leash where they're controlled. God is not, he's not a controller, because true authentic love never involves control. True love always gives people a choice. And so God is always calling to us, and a primary way he speaks to us is through his word. But then as sheep, we have the choice to follow. And sometimes, I'm telling you, I just wish, you know, God would just lead me around and not, you know, I would be on a leash, right? So I wouldn't make stupid choices. But really, that's one of the most beautiful things that God has given us, is our ability to choose. And there's so much godly girl power in that, that you and I can make that choice. And God is not going to make that choice for us, because then we wouldn't be choosing him out of love. We would be choosing him out of force, and that's not true authentic love. And just because this is a podcast for women, I'm going to say that again. Authentic, true love never involves control. Okay, so God is not going to control us, but he speaks to us, and then we respond like sheep, and we follow him, but we're going to need to know his voice. And one of the most powerful ways that we can do that is to study the Bible, and stay inside of His Word to learn His character. Okay, so in order to discern truth, the voice of truth, we want to spend time in the Word so that we can recognize His voice. And then we want to realize that God is not going to force us to follow Him, that it's our choice of whether or not we follow Him. So really the question is, you know, what words are going to write your story? You know, who is going to be in control of your life? And really, whatever words we choose to follow will have that control over us. And so what he's saying is, you know, do you want the stranger that you don't, you know, or do you want the good shepherd? And we, of course, want the good shepherd. And here's why. So it goes on to say, in this parable in John chapter 10 and verse 6, it says that those who heard Jesus use this illustration didn't understand what he meant. So he explained to them, "I tell you the truth, I am the gate for the sheep. All who came before me were thieves and robbers, but the true sheep did not listen to them. Yes, I am the gate. Those who come in through me will be saved. They will come and go freely and find good pastures. The thief's purpose is to steal, kill, and destroy. My purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life." So that's why we want to learn the voice of truth, because our good shepherd, his whole purpose is to give us that rich, satisfying life. And words, like we learned in our devotion on Monday, or two Mondays ago, that words are like keys because they connect us to a power source. And in this case, it's godly girl power, right? The Holy Spirit. And so we want to be sure that we're choosing the words, you know, just like I can choose different keys, and each key will go to a different car, and that will determine what I drive. Well, the words that I choose to follow will have an effect on my life and which way I drive. And what Jesus is saying is that the enemy has come to kill, steal, and destroy, but that he loves the sheep, and he's come to give them a rich, satisfying life. Okay, so then it goes on to say, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd sacrifices his life for the sheep. A hired hand will run when he sees the wolf coming. He will abandon the sheep because they don't belong to him and he isn't their shepherd. And so the wolf attacks them and scatters the flock. The hired hand runs away because he's working only for the money and doesn't really care about the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and they know me. Just as my Father knows me and I know the Father, so I sacrifice my life for the sheep." And so in this part, Jesus is introducing a few more characters to the story. He's already talked about the shepherd, the sheep. There's the enemy. Then he talks about the wolf that comes to attack, and he also talks about the hired hand. Now, God is the shepherd, and he's the one that's calling to us by his words to follow him, and we are the sheep. But then, in the midst of this, there's also the enemy, and this is when it gets hard and, you know, distracting, and, you know, is that not only is God speaking to us, but there's an enemy who would love nothing more than to make you feel condemned, to make you feel unworthy, not valuable, unloved, by what he says to us, the lies that he feeds us about who we are and our value in Christ. And so that's what the enemy does. That's his voice in our life. And the result of that is kill, steal, and destroy. It's the good shepherd's motive to lift us up, and it's the enemy's goal to just tear us down. And so, and we pretty much know that, right? We know that the enemy, you know, loves to battle in our minds and condemn us, and we expect that from him. Then we see the wolf, and the wolf kind of represents people who are viciously attacking with their words. And I know you know what I'm talking about, like when somebody says an unkind word to you, and we'd all love to say sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. But the truth is that, you know, words can hurt. Proverbs 12:18 says, the words of the reckless pierce like swords, but the tongue of the wise bring healings. Proverbs 12:25, anxiety weighs the heart down, but a kind word cheers up. Proverbs 15:1, a gentle answer turns away wrath, but harsh words stir up anger. And Proverbs 18:21, probably the most strongest one, the tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit. And so basically, all of those scriptures are telling us is that, you know, those words have power, and people can say things that are not true about us, or just plain unkind, and that, you know, they can be words that attack. And I'm sure you've all had those experiences where people have said things. So now you have the good shepherd, but then you also have wolves, right, that are saying things that are unkind, or like Paul was talking about in those scriptures that I read in the very beginning, you have people that are distorting the truth for personal gain. And so then we've got God's voice, we've got the enemy's voice, and then we've got the wolf, right, who has that attacking voice. And, you know, it's really easy to maybe to guard ourselves against those, and or maybe even just to acknowledge and trust that those aren't good. But the really interesting part in this parable, I think, is when Jesus talks about the hired man. And he talks about how when the wolf comes, that the hired man abandons the sheep. And what's really interesting to me about that, and what I think Jesus was trying, one of the things I believe he was trying to say, is that even the people that were called to care for you, like the hired man, he was hired to take care of the sheep, even those people, you cannot put your trust in like you can me, because I am the good shepherd. And I'm sure that there are many of you out there listening today, and it could have been a coach, it could have been a parent, a boss, a brother or sister, just somebody that was supposed to love and take care of you. And often, it doesn't have to be like a big episode. It could be one sentence. And, you know, I'm a mom and I've made plenty of mistakes and things that I've said to my kids, but it could just be one sentence that we remember, right? That person that was supposed to take care of me, and, you know, they let you down. And what Jesus is saying in this parable is not to never trust people, but just to only put your trust in his word, only in his word, because people are people, and people are an imperfect source. You know, I remember, and I wrote about this, and You Belong to the Bridegroom, but when the royal wedding took place some 4 years ago, when Kate Middleton was getting married, the Bishop of London was giving a homily, and in the midst of this beautiful wedding where she was marrying a prince that had all the titles he could bestow on her, all the wealth he could bestow on her. And, you know, he obviously loved her dearly. You could see that. But in the middle of all of this, this is what the Bishop of London said. As the reality of God has faded from so many lives in the West, there has been a corresponding infiltration of expectations that personal relations alone will supply meaningness and happiness to life. This is to load our partner with too great a burden. We are all incomplete. We all need the love that is secure rather than oppressive. We need mutual forgiveness to thrive. And I remember when he said those words, I just sat there for a moment and I thought to myself, just in the middle of this glamour of this Cinderella day, I just, you know, realized that not even a prince with the world at his fingertips could provide this bride with the love and security that she needed. And that's, I believe, one of the things that Jesus is trying to communicate in this parable, that, you know, only in me will you find the words for your identity. Only in me can you find truth. And there can be a lot of people that can love us, but only God has that amazing, unconditional, perfect love that we can count on all the time. And so inside of this passage, we see that the shepherd calls with his words. We see that it's our choice of whether or not to respond. And we also see that there are lots of different voices that we can respond to. And so it's imperative for us to spend time in God's Word so that we can hold fast to the truth. And that's exactly what Paul was praying for the church in Ephesus, because he knew that God's Word held the ultimate power and the ultimate truth. And the same is true for us. And so we want to be sure. And I tell you what, I think that as women, I know I'll, you know, my story, I'm very passionate about this because for years and years and years, I gave permission to other people to shape my identity, to tell me who I was. And it wasn't until, you know, I began to look at God and really let the shepherd be the sole source of my worth and value, the sole source of my purpose, which, you know, only our maker can tell us who we are and the purpose for which we were created. Nobody else can tell us that but God. And so learning to discern his voice is imperative so that we will follow him. So what I'm going to give to you now are five ways that I use to discern God's voice through his words. Now you can download our free ebook off of our website, Her Nourished Heart, to learn how to study God's Word. I'm going to give you five keys that I use of how to discern God's Word. A lot of people ask me that. How do I know when God is speaking to me? And the first way is that it will line up with the character of who he is. He's the good shepherd. He laid down his life. He's a loving God. So it's going to line up with who he is. He speaks truth. He is love. He is holy. All of those characteristics about God, it's going to line up with the character of who he is. The second thing that you want to look for is this lining up with the Bible? Does this line up with the whole counsel of God? Does it reflect Scripture? Because the Holy Spirit is not going to go, it's not going to go contrary to the Word of God. Okay, so his character, the counsel of God, meaning the Bible. And the third way is a way that I actually learned from a guy named Bob Hamp, who lives in Dallas, Texas. He's a pastor out there, and he's written this really great book called Live Differently, Think Differently. But I learned this from him. A third way that you can discern God's voice is it producing the fruit of the Spirit in me, right? And what is the fruit of the Spirit? Well, if you go to Galatians 5:22, you see the list of the fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, understanding, and self-control. Right before that, you see what is not the fruit of the Spirit, which are things like anger and bitterness and rage and sexual immorality. And so we want to ask ourselves when we're in the Word of God, is this producing in me the fruit of the Spirit, or is it not from the fruit of the Spirit? So we want to learn those characteristics. Okay, so number one, the character of God. Number two, the counsel of God. Number three is, does it produce the fruit of the Spirit? Now, number four is this. It goes back to really our passage from this week. And we say, is it a still small voice? You know, the enemy's voice comes to condemn, to load you down, to really make you feel horrible. God is there to encourage you and lift you up. Even when God is pointing out sin in my life, it's done in such a way that it is, it's just a way when he touches your heart, and it's just an encouraging way that he does it. And so we want to ask ourselves, you know, is this God's voice? Is it God's voice? The enemy will come to condemn us. God's voice comes to lift us up. And then the last way that I use to discern God's voice is that I always say that God's voice speaks in an echo. And what I mean about that is that I might read something in the Word and, you know that this was a scripture God wanted me to hear, and then maybe I'm in church and my pastor is giving a message on that same word. Or maybe I'm in my small group, in my Nourish group that I meet with on Monday nights, and somebody else in the group has said that. Or I'm listening to a podcast or a sermon online and I hear it again. Or I'm talking with a friend and I hear it again. And so I always say that God speaks to us in an echo, that he'll speak to you primarily through his word, but he usually will confirm it by speaking to you in an echo, by calling to you again. And so from that, from those five things, we want to make sure that we position ourselves to hear God. And the way that we do that is we stay in the word so that we can learn his character and so that we can learn the truth in the Bible. And a great way you can do that is by downloading our free resource, Her Nourished Heart, and joining us every Monday by studying the Word of God through the Nourish devotions. And then we want to learn the fruit of the Spirit. Go to Galatians chapter 5. You can find that there so that we can discern if it's the fruit of the Spirit or not. And then if God's voice is a still small voice, that means that I need to pull away and get quiet sometimes to hear it, right? I need to turn off my Facebook, all those things, and have some undistracted time. And then the last way God speaks in an echo, I want to put myself in places of community where I can hear that echo. I want to be sure I'm going to church and listening to worship music and, you know, having a community group where I'm hanging out and talking about the word to hear it. So I hope that helps you today to learn how to discern God's voice and really the importance of it. That, you know, as Paul encouraged the Ephesians, you know, he encouraged them to hold on to that truth, and that there would be people that would distort truth in our life. And we learned in the John chapter 10 chapter, there's the enemy that wants to kill, steal, and destroy. And that even people that love and care about us, even they cannot give us our worth and value. That we need to learn how to discern God's voice so that we can follow the good shepherd and find that abundant life. All right, that's all for today. I hope you've enjoyed this podcast. I hope that you will subscribe, and would love, love, love for you to invite your friends to subscribe to it. And it would be so helpful if you would rate, just take a minute and rate this podcast. And that will give people who are looking in an idea about what they can expect. Also, I want to invite you to participate on our Periscope Bible study discussion every Thursday at 9 p.m. Just download the Periscope app and connect with me, Aileen Thompson, and we'll be talking about the Nourish devotion every week, so you don't want to miss that. All right, I will talk to you guys next week. Have an awesome weekend. Bye-bye.